Welcome to Her Wild Side Hockey Podcast. I am your hostess, Mickey, aka Hockey She Wrote, and we have one game left of the Minnesota Wild season. I'm currently dressed in all black in mourning of the season. We'll do a deep dive into the season kind of in the next episode, which is episode 35. Today, I had a few things I just had to jump on and address. Now, first of all, I want to say I like to put out a couple of episodes a week if I can. We'll see what that looks like during the off season. But I know I've been a little absent, and I just want to quickly say that while I might duck out here and there, you can't get rid of me, is what I'm saying. You cannot get rid of me fully. I will always be around. We just have some medical issues going on in my family. Nothing major. You know, it's not anything major, just some chronic conditions that flare up. And when that happens, it just means that I have to dump a few things off my plate. And unfortunately, work is the first thing to be dumped, because that's why I work for myself in the first place, because we need that flexibility. So, I will never actually leave. You will never be rid of me. Here's what I want to get on and say, though. This is the biggest thing I wanted to talk about. So we're going to start with it right off the jump, which is the Minnesota Wild goalie situation. This morning, actually just a few hours ago, the Wild announced that they have re-signed Marc-Andre Fleury to a one-year $2.25 million contract extension. This is not a surprise. not a surprise at all. It's been pretty evident in the last few weeks here that Fleury is still playing at the top of his game, mostly, and that he doesn't want to be done. You know, he is still having fun. He is still able to play the way he's always played. And he doesn't want to be done. And honestly, you know what? Good for him. You know, watching him has been amazing. I think it's very easy to say what a good goalie he is. It's very easy to rattle off stats. But I think until you watch some of his highlights and watch him play in person, do you really understand how incredible he actually is? A couple months ago, I wrote an article about him just saying that he is the last of his kind. There is never going to be a goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury again. There just is not. He plays in a style that is not used anymore. I mean, sure, there are other goalies who are definitely known for their agility and their flexibility, and you know, they can make kind of the big saves sometimes, but that's all of Fleury's style of play. Right now, most goalies are depending more on being able to read the plays and know where to set themselves up, you know, square themselves off to the play and go from there. Whereas Fleury actually enjoys a challenge. I think while being out of place is not good, I think sometimes he actually likes it, because then he's able to make those big saves. Like he loves to do the big windmills and to, you know, just really be the one sprinting back into the net. And he has fun with it. He has fun with it. I am not 39, 40 years old, like he's going to turn later this year. But I hope everyone is able to have a job that they enjoy like that. I think Minnesota also needs to realize how blessed we are to have him here. And not only here, but the fact that he chose to be here. He said that his two options were to retire or to sign one more year in Minnesota. He was not about to let himself be traded to a cup contender. He was not about to sign a one-year contract with another team. He wanted to be here. And that says volumes about the Wild organization, the Wild locker room and players. And I think the state of Minnesota, the state of hockey fans, all together, I think that really speaks volumes to how much he is enjoying it. I don't have to say that it's been a tough year. It has been a terrible year. This is probably the worst hockey season the Wild have had in a long time, And that's not just missing the playoffs either. That's just one thing after another. It's like every time something went right, something else went wrong. Every time we got an injured player back, someone else was injured and out. And every time we started to get things back on track, it's like something else would happen. It's just a great thing that Fleury is so willing and wants to come back for one more year to an organization that I think a lot of fans were worried about how that was going to affect him long term, I guess. So, but this goalie situation that I'm talking about is not just about Fleury. Currently, there is Marc-Andre Fleury just signed the one-year extension. Philip Gustafsson has 2 years left on his extension from last summer. And then Jesper Wallstedt is down in Iowa. I believe he's got one more year on his ELC before he will be eligible to sign another contract. And there are a lot of people calling for Gus to be traded. I think part of that is just the whole Minnesota fan mentality. Oh my God, he had an off year, a terrible year. And even though sometimes he did play great, actually, I'd like you to remember that. Let's move him out. Like, pack him up, ship him out. Like, let's go. I think you need to look at the whole picture here. I think people are forgetting the entire situation. First of all, yes, Fleury can still play at an amazing level. But even he himself says, you know, he is almost 40 years old. And while he is in incredible physical shape, he's been playing in the NHL for 21 years. That takes a toll on his body. And it will take him longer to recover from things. It will take him longer to get over injuries. And I think that we need to remember that. Now, Wallstedt has come up. He started two games. We're not going to talk about Dallas. We're not going to talk about that one. But he started two games in the NHL. They were against the Blackhawks and the Sharks, who are, you know, arguably two of the worst teams in the league. But he looked great. You know, he looked ready, and he was ready for them. But I don't think that means that he is ready for a full-time NHL job. I do not think that necessarily means that he is ready to go up against some of the better teams in the league. I think he's getting there. One more year in the AHL and another year of development is going to be great for him. People seem to forget how young he is. And part of that, I think, is that, you know, he is a big guy. He's got a very deep voice. He seems like an adult. And technically he is, but he is only 21. And, you know, for that matter, even Gustafsson is, gosh, I want to say 25. They are both so young. So having Fleury around for this other year is really going to be great to mentor these two young goalies. It's been great so far for both of them, for both of our Swedish goalies. Trading Gustafsson right now is the dumbest thing that they could do. He has shown that he does have that ability. He had Vezina-level stats. And even this year, there was a chunk of time where he played like that. But just because he had a more off year than on does not mean to ship him out. We need a younger goalie to back up Fleury and be able to take on some of those harder teams, which we know that Gustafsson can, and also to be able to mentor Wallstedt once he moves up to Minnesota. Because if we trade Gus and we have Fleury leave after the next season, who do we put with Wallstedt in the NHL? this is not just like something, you know, there's not NHL level goalies just ready and available for good prices. You know, I think thinking that we will deal with that later on down the road is a mistake. Bill Guerin even said something about, you know, when you have the chance to sign a Hall of Fame goalie, you sign it. And I agree. So he signed Fleury and he kind of said, like, after that, we'll figure the other stuff out. And he mentioned that the one thing that Gustafson needs to work on is his physical fitness. That was the same thing last season. And you know what he did? He went back to Sweden. He worked on his physical fitness. When he came back into training camp, he looked totally different. He had slimmed down. He had put on muscle. And he did what they wanted him to do. Now, I think it's not so much fitness that they need, but the they need him to be more, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's not so much the physical strength as just being able endurance. They need to, he needs to build up his endurance. So he has shown that he is able to take feedback over the off season and put in the work. And he will do it again this season. I think coming into this season, the 2023-24 season, he had also just become a father. And that's something, becoming a parent, bringing a new member into your family, especially one that does not know how to talk, can only cry to let you know they need something. You are 100% in charge and control of all of their needs. I think that puts more stress on a person than people might think, especially because it seems like Gustafson would be a more hands-on dad. You know, I could see where some of the NHL hockey players, I could see where maybe they are not as hands-on. But I just, you know, I get the feeling that Gustafson is hands-on and that it really affected him more than he maybe thought it would. So the Wild and their goalie situation. The Wild need to, you know, have Fleury run for this one more year. They can cut down kind of the games that he's playing, potentially. And he is available to mentor the two young Swede goalies. They need to keep Gustafson and keep shaping him and help him with the areas of his game that he needs. I think it's also going to be very telling that next year he will be playing behind a more defensively sound team with their, I'm going to knock on some wood, but I'm going to say, I don't think there's any way we could have as many injuries next year as we did this year. That was, people are forgetting the kind of team that these goalies were playing behind sometimes. So I think Gus will show that maybe he's not Vezina level, but I think he is much better than he was for the majority of this year. And then Wallstedt, he can be in Iowa one more year. He can take more time to develop, and he knows that. He even just developed, like, between his start in Dallas, that we're not going to talk about, and being pulled up for these two starts at the end of the season, there was, even just in those few months, it's like he knew what they needed him to do, and he did it. He came back, and he was more prepared. Again, he's going to go back. He's going to take this summer to develop what needs to be developed. Next year, we could have almost, not quite a three-goalie rotation, but pull Wallstedt up more, give him more games, harder opponents, and judge from there throughout the season. I think letting go of Gustafson would be a huge mistake. And I think people who are saying to trade him are being very short-sighted. All right. We're going to close the book on the goalie situation. I am going to quick just put up my little plug. Let's see, for Ticketmaster. This is our affiliate link for Ticketmaster. If you are going to buy any tickets to a show, sports, concerts, whatever you can get through Ticketmaster, we would really, really appreciate it if you would use our affiliate link. So there's a QR code on the page right now. It is also linked in the show notes. And buying through that will help support my show and also just the podcast network itself that my show is a part of. So please and thank you. And now back to me. One of the funniest things this season has been figuring out how much the wild live rent-free in other fans' heads, like fans of other teams. Now, we're not going to get into the whole Faber thing and how obsessed Chicago fans are with Faber. But there was one, I think it was a King, I believe it was a Kings fan, who was just like appalled with Kirill Kaprizov and posted like 20 different messages all in a row about how much he hates Kaprizov and how dumb he is and all this stuff. And I'm sorry, if you're going to beef with someone on the Wild, you pick Kirill? Like, I know that obviously we know why he picked him, because Kirill has always played well against the Kings. He is always there to make them look foolish and put in some good goals. So I get that sense of it. But if you look at Kirill, he is just a golden-haired, baby-faced angel Russian man. How can you hate him? He is the most happy person. The only happier one is Fleury. But like right after Fleury, it is Kaprizov. And so how you can hate that smiley man, I don't know. But you chose the wrong person. You can hate Hartman. Lots of people hate Hartman. We don't. We love him. Hate on him. He doesn't care. He really doesn't. The other thing that happened this last weekend was that I was able to go to the Frozen Four with my dad. And I don't think I've talked about this in the podcast. I did talk a little bit about it on Twitter and stuff. But my parents, as you know, are huge Gopher hockey fans. They have been to the last three Frozen Four tournaments. Las Vegas, Florida. Maybe this is the third one. Anyway, so they always get tickets right when they are released. And obviously, they are usually assuming that the Gophers will be making an appearance. And unfortunately, that was not the case this year. But my dad and I still went and had a lot of fun. I went with on Thursday for the semifinal games. My mom came up for the weekend, but she was like, look, the Gophers aren't playing. I'm not going to go watch the games. I will come up. I will stay in a hotel. I will eat at restaurants. I will go shopping. I will not watch the games. And she did not. We had a great fun. My dad and I, I've talked before about how hockey is a family thing. That's how we show love. And it was really fun to just spend a day with my dad at the Excel Center, a rink that I'm at frequently and know a lot about versus, you know, he's usually at Mariucci. So I just want to say that, you know, it doesn't have to be an NHL game to be fun. Hockey is hockey, and it's going to be fun no matter what, even though I knew maybe two names of players. I knew the on Denver, they have a Minnesota Wild prospect. So that was really fun to watch him and just see how he was doing. Rieger Lorenz. I had to think for a minute. Rieger Lorenz, number 14 on Denver, played great, especially in the final game. I believe he had a goal and an assist. Really fun to watch. Also fun to watch Macklin Celebrini, because we all know that he is going to go first overall in the draft, most likely. And just to see kind of the plays that he can put together, that was really fun. He's just so young. He's 17 and he was playing on the college team. Now, as much as I would love the Wild to draft him, I know that they're not going to be able to, because there's like no way the Wild are going to win the lottery for the draft. But, you know, who knows? Right. I'm going to put on one more little commercial. This one is for ESPN Plus. So if you will just listen for the next minute to our commercial, I would really appreciate it.
Thank you for watching the show. If you enjoy our podcast and want to support the show, consider signing up for ESPN Plus via our link at insidetherink.com/ESPN or scan the QR code on your screen now. I have ESPN Plus, and I personally love all the college sports, UFC, MLB, and NHL games all across ESPN platforms. Over 1,000 out-of-market NHL games are on ESPN Plus every year. Make sure you hit the QR code or go to insidetherink.com/ESPN to make sure you don't miss out on any of this year's NHL action. And if that wasn't enough for you, ESPN Plus is currently offering a bundle of ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu for $14.99 a month. You get sports, the kids get Disney, and Hulu is the added bonus. It's the perfect bundle. I personally have it, and I don't know what you would do without it.
Welcome back. Now, as I said before, we still have one game left of the season, so I'm not going to totally close the coffin lid yet. But as sad as it has been kind of going into this last stretch, knowing that they're not going to make it, and even before that, knowing that it was a large, like, it was so unlikely that they would make it anyway, there was still just, you know, there was still hope, there was still fun, and it's been really fun to watch the prospects that Minnesota has brought over. Kuznetsov has been really fun to watch. I think he's having a little trouble adjusting to NHL versus KHL, but he is getting there. He's been really fun to watch. He's very physical. I really liked that they put him on a line with Liam Ogren once Ogren came over from Sweden. The two of them together, just they seem like maybe they could have some chemistry. Ogren is kind of also just big, physical guy. He's already shown that he can score. He's had a goal and an assist, and I think he's played maybe even two assists by now in just a handful of games. It was fun to get Walsed a few more starts in the net, and not just starts, but like good games. His second game, he had his first shutout in the league. And against San Jose, he played great too. So really just trying to boost those stats so that they don't look so terrible after that Dallas game. Who else have we seen? Beckman was here for a while. He was a little in and out of the lineup, but it was nice to get him some play time. And now this is not a prospect, but Alex Goligoski, he is on an expiring contract. He is 38 years old. He has shown that he has slowed down, but it's been nice to get him out for his last few games. I think he's played the last two games for sure. And I want to assume he will play tomorrow also, just to, you know, kind of shut out his career. So as sad as the end of the season has been, I think we can kind of look at some of that as a positive and watch this last game and just see how they do. I also think it's fun to see that even once it was totally impossible for the Wild to get a playoff spot, they're still competing. You know, they are professional athletes. That's what they do. They're not just going to like, oop, no playoffs. Okay, let's just phone it in. Like, no, that's not how it works. And one more last thing before we say goodbye is I have kind of talked about this a little bit on social media again. I am working on a hockey romance book. And while it will be a romance, I think I really want to make it tongue-in-cheek a bit, you know, because there's just so many other hockey romance books that have the most ridiculous situations or are written by somebody who has never been like on an NHL ice rink and like does not understand how it works, or they don't know how the draft works. They don't know how contracts work or any of that. So I kind of, you know, I'd like to write one that is a bit kind of, you know, like winks at itself and is supposed to be silly. And I've gone back and forth because I didn't want to totally make like a satire, like a parody, because I don't want to actually like anger people who actually like hockey romance books, but I would like to kind of like balance that line. So all this to say, I don't know, I'm working on it. Again, kind of an off-season project that I can work on since I've been focused on, you know, articles and podcasts and stuff during the season. Although I am going to pick some teams for the playoffs that I'm going to follow. But again, we can talk about that more in the next episode, about who we are going to talk about here, who we're going to follow, and the end of the season. So before I wrap up, I would just like to give one more plug, which is for my merch shop. There's a link down below in the show notes for incredible merch that helps support me and my podcast and the podcast network. There is Her Wild Side Hockey Podcast shirts and mugs and stickers. And there are Hot Girl Hockey Club, same shirts, stickers, coffee mugs. Just a fun way to support the show. And if you ever have any ideas of other merch you'd like to see from my show, I would love to hear it because, you know, why not? But until then, let's all enjoy the last Minnesota Wild game tomorrow night. And we're going to put all the positive vibes out there. And then we will talk about who we need to shift the vibes to once the Wild season is over. So until then, I will see you all later. Bye.